Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with a Turkey Day no-brainer. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and you win $100 in free bets if either team scores even 1 point, which I don't think is possible. Anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. Last week, Dustin, I warned you ahead of time it was salty, Jim. This week, it's not so salty, Jim.
It's sweet. I like sweet Jim, too. Salty Jim's entertaining. Sweet Jim is a kind-hearted soul. So it's good to have you back.
Well, salty Jim might be a little bit of an acquired taste also. So we're avoiding that with a Penn State 28-0 win over Rutgers. A team, by the way, I think if they are still playing that game, they still would not have reached the end zone, Dustin.
It didn't look like a very hopeful situation for that Rutgers offense right from the get-go. It didn't, which was good because Penn State needed a little bit of time to figure their things out. But, yeah, I don't think this Rutgers offense was conquering any version of this Penn State defense. I think even as we got late into the game, we got more backups involved. It still didn't look like it was going to be much of a test for that defense.
No, and the defense affected a bit by the flu bug. The offense really affected by it. In many ways, considering the challenges that they had, as James Franklin described it after the game, there were lots of IVs and vomit going around for the week. In many ways, this is one of the more impressive performances. I know it was Rutgers, but still, a lot of good things came out of this one, Dusty.
And it was a Rutgers team that still had something to play for. You know, they're still in pursuit of bowl eligibility, which I believe they're playing Maryland, both of them in pursuit of bowl eligibility this weekend coming up. So Rutgers had an incentive to come in there and play. And Rutgers also, you know, for the pretty jarring lack of talent, you know, Greg Schiano has done some nice things and he is getting the absolute most out of these guys. The challenge with them coming in was that they were going to do a lot of things right and that they were going to try to run the ball and they were going to try to play good defense and they were going to try to play mistake free. You know, all those things, you know, Penn State had shown enough this season that that recipe, that combination of things could be enough to make things interesting. And I think in the early going, you know, the dominance of this Penn State defense was huge, but I don't think this was ever really going to be much of a test. But I think the way things unfolded anyway, with all the different adversity and all the different reasons that Penn State maybe could have packed it in, this strikes me as a win, Jim, that could be a really, really galvanizing one. Not like Minnesota in 2016 galvanizing, but at the same time, everybody had been through some things. Even the guys further down the roster, you know, were summoned in this game to contribute and to bring something to the table. So they all felt like they had a hand in it. And it seems like, you know, going from losing 4 or 5 to winning a game in the nature that they won this game, you know, I thought was a really big deal in the flow of the season. Then you kind of stack up the winnability that it looks like maybe Michigan State this weekend could be. And now you have a chance really to turn a corner and turn a bunch of negatives into a not so bad finish to the year.
Definitely. That's the last gasp, last opportunity being able. I do look at it as an opportunity to play a Michigan State team that's a ranked team, and you can get that kind of win on the road. This game, you mentioned it, it felt like a transitional game. And part of that has to be you saw so many players that we hadn't seen before. And I'll be honest, Dustin, I wasn't sure where the program was headed. And we'll talk about James Franklin and his part with that. But as far as the players you saw, there are so many good players who won't be back next year. You had to wonder, where were we headed? Well, one of the big questions was that quarterback. You know, whether you're a Sean Clifford fan or not a Sean Clifford fan, you certainly weren't a fan of Sean Clifford not being able to play, because we saw a taste of that in the Iowa game and none of us liked it. So lo and behold, Sean Clifford starts the game, obviously not himself, and a less than 100% Sean Clifford is usually not very good. We've learned that. Here comes Christian Vaiu. I got to think every Penn State fan had their fingers crossed when he came in, wondering what we were going to end up with.
The Iowa vibes were strong when he's summoned to come in, especially when you put it into context. And I know this is unfair and a gross oversimplification of it, but thinking, okay, if Vaiu wasn't good enough to unseat Taquan Roberson, the same Taquan Roberson that we saw at Iowa, what can we reasonably expect this kid to do in this game setting, in this situation where he, you know, it's a scoreless game at that point in time, and he's called in to try to win it. But his response was unbelievable. And I think it's probably a testament to, you know, just when you're trying to manage this situation, I think Taquan Roberson really had to do quite a bit to play himself out of that number two job early in the year. And I think probably the coaching staff all along anticipated that Vaiu, it was a matter of when, not if, he would overtake Roberson in the first place. I don't know what's going on with Taquan when it comes to injury and stuff. I don't know if he was part of the, you know, the flu bug and wasn't available because of that on Saturday, but it sure did seem to me, even in the days leading up to this, like Christian Vaiu was going to be the number two for the foreseeable future. And I think we saw all the reasons why the coaching staff seemed to like him so much in this game.
I believe he, mentioning Roberson, I do believe he was hit by the flu also when they talked about the Friday practice and said no scholarship quarterback was able to suit up for practice on Friday. Plus, he didn't suit up for the game Saturday. But to your point, it did seem like it was trending Christian Vaiu. And that is the question that Penn State fans have. If this guy comes in and does as well as he did against Rutgers, why didn't we see him in that Iowa game or even the Illinois game when you had a struggling Sean Clifford? The thing is, Dustin, doing it in practice, that doesn't translate necessarily to the games. And I'm talking about both Vaiu and Roberson.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you don't know as a coaching staff. And I think that's where experience comes in and being around a while comes in. And I think there's no secret that Iowa and Illinois were both two real low points for this coaching staff in terms of how they were adjusting to the adversity that was dealt to them. You know, you think back to when Taquan Roberson entered, the idea of him entering, the fact that he hadn't gotten many reps in the first place over the course of a year and a half to be ready for that moment. He, you know, the coaching staff maybe overinvested in getting your starter ready, which is understandable. So he wasn't ready. Who knows? I mean, it just might be he won't be ready ever for that moment. But then over the course of that game, the Iowa game, with the snap issues and the false starts and the lack of adjustment, you know, much sooner from the coaching staff, and then Illinois doing what they did with that big formation and just running, not being able to get 3 yards on the 2-point conversions. I just don't think those were real good moments for this coaching staff. But it does seem to be that Vaiu does have some legitimate promise. And at that point in time, in the Iowa game, Roberson hadn't done anything to play himself out of that number two job. I don't really fault the coaching staff for not immediately elevating him. That might have just been something that has taken place over the last 5 or 6 weeks, that he's really solidified himself or gotten the reps that he's needed to show what he can do. And he does strike me just in this very, very limited window, Jim, of being somebody who's better in maybe in games than he is in practice.
Well, there's definitely a different speed in games versus practice. It speeds up, it goes faster, but Vaiu seemed to be able to handle it. And I don't know if Yursich massaged the offense a little bit, also knowing coming into this game he might need to go with Vaiu or even a walk-on quarterback, so they adjusted things for him, made it simpler, more first-read items. But the other part to all this was the offensive line and how it was affected. And remember at the start of the season, we talked about this offensive line with the bookend tackles. Rasheed Walker, who didn't play this game. Caden Wallace, who gave it a try but couldn't make it. And they survived, didn't they?
They did, and this offensive line group, I was really watching with interest to see what would happen with this group. And they had a few different renditions of it that had to come out to play because of guys coming in and going. And we saw Landon Tangwall, and, you know, I really didn't think at this point in the year, not that you ever want this type of health issue or injuries, you don't want any of that, but sometimes the silver lining is this forced the coaching staff to adjust to something that it wouldn't have ever been their idea. That it didn't seem like they were very motivated to get off that same group of five offensive linemen. Well, here was the chance late in the year, all these flu cases, and also getting underneath that 4 games left threshold. So you have some options when it comes to getting true freshmen like a Landon Tangwall, like a Christian Veiu, onto the field to play. And I think that's what was the most encouraging and the most optimistic that people would be coming out of this game, is that young guys were asked to do things that they've never done before. They were put in a position. They're playing a real Big Ten game. Rutgers might not always feel like a real Big Ten opponent, but they were playing a real Big Ten game that counted in the standings, and they looked like they were just kind of playing carefree and simple, and they weren't overthinking it, and that goes for beyond Christian Veiu. But these young guys, and there was a bunch of times in this game where Veiu dropped back to pass and had quite a bit of time to survey the field, which is exactly what he was going to need if his first read wasn't open.
And Landon Tangwall, I'm reading somewhere where he actually played for 63 snaps, which is quite a bit. And I think what might be most impressive from him is you barely noticed, which is usually a problem with an offensive lineman when you do notice him.
You didn't want to see that 58 involved. You don't want to see any replays of 58, that's for sure. But not surprising. I mean, considering what we've seen from him and how we've examined him, I know Ross wasn't that big on him. I'll keep reminding Ross. If his career becomes something big, I'll be sure to remind Ross, just like I remind Andy about Saquon Barkley. But he was built ready for this opportunity. He was built to be a college lineman already as a high school senior. And it looks like he was really studying and put himself in good position to perform when he did get that opportunity. It's the kind of thing that can change the whole trajectory of the early part of his career.
Tell you what, Salty Jim might be an acquired taste, but I never get tired of "I told you so," Dustin. That is it for the first quarter. Stick around, we got a whole lot more.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.